I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment. Hi again, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. And my assignment this week is somewhat of a continuum of what we were talking about last week. And just a quick recap of that, we were talking about how it takes discipline, not only mentally to make changes, physically to make changes, but spiritually, most importantly, discipline spiritually is believing that good things are coming, believing that you've got a bright future, believing that everything's going to be okay. That takes discipline. Man, sometimes you just want to hear someone go, you know what, everything's going to be okay. I try to say that as much as I can as a counselor because, A, I know a lot of times people are stressed out because they simply have nobody in their lifetime or space to say, hey, look, everything's going to be okay. It just means so much for someone to hear that. And you know what? 90% of the time, everything is okay. I mean, if you look at your odds and your stats over your life, when you've had really hard or tough things happen in your life, 90% of the times, everything that you're worried about, it never even happened anyway. So sometimes people just need for you to bend your ear, and they just need to hear those, everything's going to be okay. That's what, six words? You could totally change someone's disposition and course of negativity just by saying that to them. Spiritual faith comes from spiritual discipline. It's not easy to believe that everything's going to be okay when it sure doesn't look like it, right? That takes faith. That takes faith in letting go and trusting God's got you. And that faith, ladies and gentlemen, takes discipline. People are like, oh, I don't have enough faith. You have way more faith than me. It's not like that. You either have faith or you don't. You know how they say it's like being a little pregnant? No, you're either pregnant or you're not. Faith is the same way. There's no gray area with it. You either believe in God and know that he has good things coming for you, or you don't. And you have to choose. You have to choose what you're going to believe. Okay. Moving right along, I want to talk a little bit more about this incredible tool, discipline. Because something else that discipline will bring along is strength. Strength in surrendering to the mystery of not knowing. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, and if you don't really study it and understand the whole chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you may not understand when it says in verse 9, because when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. I want to break that down to you in a way that you might be able to understand that a little bit better. And for all you martial artists out there, I want to use tournaments as an example. Martial arts tournaments, karate tournaments. You know, I always encouraged my kids, I shouldn't say all kids, they were just students, not all of them were kids, but I always encouraged them to compete, not just in forms, but in fighting as well. And the reason why I did that is not because I wanted them to experience winning, which is really cool when you win, don't get me wrong, but I wanted them to experience what it was like to lose, because you need to know what that's like and how to sit in it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, every time I learned how to be a good fighter, every time I learned what I'm truly made of in my spirit, my chung shin, my soul, as we say, it's not when I won that I learned those lessons. It was when I lost Because understanding how you are when the chips are down is understanding who you really are as a person. I hope you win, but I hope you lose. I mean, I've competed all over the country. I've won some and I've lost some. I'm still me. But the times I became the greatest in myself is when I had to go home and sit in loss. Sit in it, feel like the world's biggest loser. Let me tell you something, that's what made me great. My losing made me great. So now I understand things in the real world of how to deal with loss. I'm human. You know, you cut me, I bleed. If you hurt me, I get upset. Yeah, you know what, guys? I do cry. I want you to know that I actually do cry. I know. It's crazy, isn't it? And you have to understand something. Everything I am today, everything that I have become today, everything. And I'm not bragging, but I'm letting you know my secrets. It's because I've lost in life, not because I've won. I wouldn't have even tried to do the things that I didn't even know I could do unless I was at a situation as a young adult where I came out of so much loss. I mean, so much loss where it's sink or swim, and you have to choose what you're going to do. And it would be better to try and lose than to just keep sinking and sinking and sinking. You feeling me today? Karate tournaments are a great thing. Yeah, it's good when you can come home with a trophy. I get that. I understand that. But it's even greater when you come home, especially when it's the end of the year and you're not going to be able to compete again the next year, and you got to wait like the rest of the year and the rest of the spring and everything else before you're going to be able to redeem yourself. I guarantee you are a better person for that and understanding how to deal with loss in your life, especially young people. I hope young people lose at least a little so they understand what it is like to have to build character, to have the discipline, to have the strength and surrendering to the mystery of not knowing if you're going to win or lose next time. It's scary, but that's what makes you a winner. That's what makes you a champion, guys. There is a certain type of therapy out there, a little bit controversial, but you know what? It makes total sense to me. And it's a therapy for OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, for those who don't know what OCD is. Okay, here's the story around this one particular incident that I want to share with you. There was a woman who was, I mean, just within an inch of having a car accident where she almost hit a mother pushing a baby stroller in front of her. And for whatever reason, whether she was distracted or looking the other way or what, she had to slam on her brakes, and she just came within an inch of hitting this mother pushing this stroller with the baby in it. Now, what happened is, instead of being, oh, thank God it didn't really happen, but thank God it really didn't happen, right? But she flipped the coin, and it really, really messed with her to the point that she got real OCD about it, where she couldn't even get in a car, and she couldn't even drive her car anymore because she was so fearful that it was going to happen again. So the panic, the post-traumatic stress, whatever you want, became a hang-up for her. And, you know, every day it just became a problem. 2, 3, 4 years went by, and she couldn't even make herself get in the car anymore to drive in fear of you know, what was going to happen if she were to, I guess, lightning strike again, and she would hit or almost hit another woman with a baby carriage, a baby stroller. So she sought out help for it. And it turned out to be a therapist who was a little bit on the cutting edge. So this is what the therapist did. told her to get in the car and start the car, that they were going to go for a drive. You know, he was going to be with her. She could go 20 miles an hour if she wanted to. It didn't matter. But they had set up this obstacle course, okay, so that it's, I'm not laughing at the situation, but you'll see when I tell you. Somebody strategically at certain points in this little slow drive in a parking lot were going to throw baby dolls at the car and was going to throw strollers in front of her path. And so she's in the car, and this happens. Now, the first baby doll that got thrown, she screamed and she cried. The therapist was like, that's good. Feel it. Sit in it. Know what that feels like, but just don't stop driving. Just keep driving. So she's creeping along. They roll a baby stroller in front of the car. She almost hits it. She screams, and, she, you know, she's, like, panicked and everything. And the therapist's like, good, good. Feel it. Sit in it. Feel it. Breathe it. Cry. Panic. Whatever you want. Just don't stop driving. So she keeps going, you know, in between tears and being breathy. She goes on. And eventually, ladies and gentlemen, about 10, 15 minutes of this, where they're throwing baby dolls at the car, she just starts laughing. She just starts laughing. And it broke the situation over her where she compulsively was fearful that she was going to keep hitting a kid if she got in a car. You know, she broke it. And she was fine. She sped the car up, went around the block, got on the highway, and the next thing you know, all gone. It really makes you think sometimes about her having the discipline to get in the car and go through with this type of therapy. First of all, the discipline gave her the strength because she did not stop and did not get out of the car, and that's all it took. And she had a coach that was holding her hand, but it really makes you think about the hang-ups that you have in life and what it takes to get over those hang-ups. And what it really takes is the strength to be able to surrender to the mystery of not knowing. Is that too wordy for you? Let me say that again, maybe in another way. I'm a writer. I do that all the time. I go back and I just take out what I said and try to simplify it. It's the way my mind thinks. But anyway, being able to surrender to the unknown. How about that? The unknown is scary. You know, when you read the Bible, the whole premises of the Bible, portions and areas, is simply about how to get through the unknown, of not knowing what's going to happen. Some of these books, Proverbs, written thousands and thousands of years ago, well before the time of Christ, it was wise men still pondering. How do you deal with stuff that hasn't happened yet? How do you deal with the fear of the unknown? Am I going to be alone for the rest of my life? You know, the COVID thing, am I going to get sick and just die? Am I going to run out of money? You know, am I going to have relationship issues with people for the rest of my life? Yeah, it just goes on and on and on. We're on a daily basis. This can play in your head where you literally develop a fear over what could or could not happen in the future. And right there is where you have to have the discipline. You see what I'm saying? That's what takes discipline for you to find the strength to believe that everything's going to be okay, even if in the present moment, the current moment, you don't feel like it. And so what I'm defining right there for you is simply faith. It's just good old-fashioned faith. And a lot of times things, I just look around at, you know, I study up on all these different religions and all the things going on, and it's just like some of it gets to be so complicated. You got to pay $3,000 to go sit in a hot tent in Arizona, you know, to find peace and find God. I'm like, man, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to do any of that but use my mind and my heart to believe, and I'm good. I'm good. That's all it takes. Is that belief, if you truly believe in your heart. That's what faith is. So simple, just the good old-fashioned kind where you've had enough and you get on your knees and you pray. That's all. I mean, you try to vamp it up and make it fancy, but it is what it is, and that really boils down to what it is. What's the intent of your heart? If you truly believe, for us who believe in Christ, if we truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, The intent of our heart will cause us to be Christ-like, to follow his teachings, in other words. Not that we don't mess up, but that's the intent of our heart. And that's all that matters. What is the intent of your heart? I want to challenge you today. Is the intent of your heart constantly about bettering yourself? Because on a white belt level, everybody just wants to be okay. You know, that's just the bottom line, isn't it? Very basic instinct. We all just want to be okay. And then maybe have good times and some pleasure. We'd like to have a little pleasure if we're okay. Because now we don't have to worry about not being okay, but now we just want the pleasure principle. What do we need to find that pleasure? Is it a person? Is it a mate? A husband? A wife? Is it more money? Is it better health? A better body? See, once everything's okay, we move to the next level, but it's always about us. I want to challenge you on believing in your heart and having the intent to have that Christ-like love to try to make a difference in the world for other people. And when you do it, don't say nothing about it. Because the intent of your heart you can see is pure when you don't boast and brag about it. Hire a PR director over it. See, I know about that too because I'm good at PR. I've made a lot of money at PR. I know all the angles. But you know what? If your intent is about looking like a good person, that's a different intent. The intent of your heart to be Christ-like, to really make a difference in the world, that is a pure intent. And sometimes that comes from being in darkness and in a very hard place in your life. People are like, well, what can I do? I believe in God and Jesus, but what can I do? Go to your dark place. Everybody has them. Go to where it was the darkest night of your hour or the darkest hour of your night. Go to where you struggled to get out of bed. Go to whatever that place was in your life, that really hard, hard time. And know that there are other people just like that and help them get through their suffering, those who suffered like you. Help them get through their suffering because that's a pure intent in your heart. And the bottom line is if we believe in the teachings of Christ, like myself, like what I believe, if you truly believe in those teachings, you've got to take that spotlight off of yourself and try to find a way to make a difference in the world. That's what it's truly about. And then everything that you may desire or want, the pleasure principle or whatever, it'll all come back to you, I promise. How do I know? Because that's what Jesus Christ said, first of all. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But secondly, I just know I have the discipline to see through things. And me being able to put out a little bit of love and good energy to help other people, it makes it easier for me because we were designed and created in the image of God to do good things for other people. That's right. That's why we're really here. That's why we're really here, what I just said. As you go about your life and you become very blessed, you're going to see what I'm saying is true. Because there's only so many designer purses you can get. And listen, I love designer purses. But, I mean, at what point do you stop and say, this makes me happy when I get it, but it's not something that I can and keep around forever. I'm going to need another one to feel that happy, happy thing again. You know, whatever makes you happy, when's it ever going to be enough if it's a physical thing? You know, you're down to 7% body fat. Your body looks great. Then what? You know, mentally, you're now a doctor or you've achieved CEO or chief of this, that, or whatever, okay, then what? Because the true meaning of being content, ladies and gentlemen, not happiness, but content, because there is a difference. The true meaning of being content is being able to make a difference in everybody else, in other people's lives, simply because we were created in the image of God to do so. I want to go back a minute. Happiness is an elated state of mind, elation. If you're constantly happy, I want to know what you're smoking, okay? Because you can't constantly be in an elated state. It's unnatural. I'm not saying you can't have peace. I'm not saying you can't be content. But I'm saying to be in a constant elated state supersedes humanity. It's just, it's not human. We weren't designed for that. There is happiness and peace and bliss and contentment. It's not an elated state, but it's a sense of well-being. So happiness in the sense of being a well-being, yes, you can do that 24/7. But you can only master that if you learn to take the spotlight off of yourself and shine it around you and watch that circle back on you to make a difference in your life. Guys, I just gave you the biggest secret. I just gave you the biggest secret, and I'm not going to in any way give credit to the secret. For those of you who are New Age, you know what I mean. Because the secret is basically everything Jesus Christ said, only they took Jesus out of it. That's what the secret is. You know, it's kind of like Victoria's Secret. What is the secret? None of her bras fit me. Maybe I'm too athletic. I don't know. But they're so uncomfortable. So tell me what that secret is. All right, listen. You got good things coming, okay? You got good things coming. Now, it's going to take discipline to believe that. But when you do finally settle into that and believe it, you're going to stop eating so much. How much weight have you put on since this whole COVID thing? That's right. You're going to go take care of your body a little bit better. You're going to start to look a little cuter, have a little more pep in your step, a little more happy tone in your talk. You have to execute the discipline to believe that everything's going to be okay. Discipline is the strength. It helps you supersede and overcome the mystery of not really knowing what's going to happen in the future. Tomorrow is a mystery for everybody. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how rich and famous you are. I don't care if you have more designer purses than me. You still don't know tomorrow. You still don't know what a day will bring forth, and that's the way it was designed. But if you reside to the fact and have the discipline to have that strength to believe it anyway, knowing that God's got good things for you, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. All right, then. Well, I'm starting to get my speaker engagement list together. Things are calming down for a lot of the states with the virus, and I'm starting to get back on a speaker's list here. So I'm happy about that, but until everything's confirmed, I'm not going to really say a whole lot about that. I will let you know I am going to Professor Gary Lee's event in Greenville, South Carolina, and that is, I believe, the weekend of November the 6th. And during that weekend, not only am I getting my Tung Soo Do 7th Degree Black Belt with Master A.J. Perry, which I really appreciate, who tested me some 20-some years ago for my first degree. So we're going on over 30 years for me to get my 7th, just for those who are keeping notes and going, that's not right. Let me tell you something. It is right. 30 years, okay? I know I don't look that old, but I am. I deserve that 7th, Dan, and I'm getting it. All right. Anyway, at that point, I'm also going to be doing something very special in Greenville, South Carolina. I am actually going to bring with me my Seiwai Genji kimono. It has on it the emblem of the samurai warrior class of Oda Nobunaga. So if you're into Japanese arts and samurai warrior classes, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I'm going to bring that kimono. It's old. It's very old. Yeah, you can touch it. Just don't have, like, you know, fudge or grease on your hands, all right? All right, cool. I'm going to do a little bit of talk about that, about how that all rolled out, a little bit of a samurai warrior talk in conjunction with what's in my family history. I know, yes, I'm Native American. I'm very proud of that. But I'm also Asian. I'm also heavily Asian. I'm both. Actually, I'm 14, if you want to get technical. 14 DNA confirmed ethnicities, or from different nationalities, maybe. Maybe about 7. Let's see. Europe, Asia, Native America. What's left? Sub-Saharan African. I got them all, except for maybe the Middle Eastern, and I'm still checking on that. Jeez, you never know, right? Anyway, I'm very honored to tell that history. I'm hoping to have my aunt with me and also my Daddy Don. Daddy Don is kind of a Native American-type medicine man. He knows a lot about the herbs and the things of the Appalachian Mountains, the healing herbs, and I'm under his tutorship, and hopefully he can be there too, and you can ask him questions if you would like to know about any of that. But I've done a lot of the Native American culture and education. This time I'm going to switch it around a little bit, so that'll be fun. So I'd like for you to come on out if you can, get a hold of Professor Gary Lee for his Sport Karate Museum event, and he'll work with you on that. I still have four books out. Actually, I'll probably have four books out to the end of time, because once you publish a book, it is history till the end of time, which I love about writing. Once you pin it and it's published for all the world to see, it doesn't go anywhere. So, yeah, and I just bring that up because, you know, if you've got your little COVID relief money, maybe you can buy a book or two. Wouldn't that be nice? All right. Enjoy writing for the magazines over 20 years, guys, and I appreciate that, and I'm glad you read my stuff and you like it, and I'm truly humbled. Low bow to you. That's about it for this week. That is my assignment. You believe with me, because I do believe we got good things coming. Absolutely, I do. All right, God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.